All right. Hey, welcome everybody to this week's conference call. As you well know, or if you're just tuning in, we do this call every Friday morning at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. So early for you Central time folks. But we'd love to do this call just to stay connected and learn from one another. And want to just jump right into the call. It's been a great start to the month already. I want to make just a few quick announcements. One, I know I threw this in Slack, but starting August 10th, just a little housekeeping thing, Prosperity. I know they're not one of our personal go-tos. You know, Liberty Bankers, Royal Neighbors, certainly, and Trinity are going to be, you know, more our go-tos more often. But Prosperity is updating the process to allow replacements over the phone, as well as they have a new process where you don't actually have to email disclosure. So if the client doesn't answer, anyway, now it's going to be text to them. So I'm hoping that will improve that process, because anybody that's been through that long recording that Prosperity does when the client says no, you know, that's a pretty big deal. So those are some good improvements, and I think they've shortened the process as well. So we'll see, but that's starting on Monday. So just kind of a little heads up there with Prosperity. I want to also mention, Dave and I were talking about this, we're going to put a little monthly sales tracker sheet on SLG team for those that want to use that. The reason is it's simple, I know, but we notice a lot of people don't necessarily keep up with their sales numbers. And it's just a really good habit, not even if you don't even want to like share it with anybody, but just for yourself to know your numbers is important. So we have a weekly activity tracker for tracking dials and quotes. And I'm still a big believer in, you know, having that on your desk, but somewhere on your wall where you can see how many sales you're at for the month and look at it. I personally find it to be very, very helpful. You can use whatever system you want, but we just want to have something to make it easy for people where you can just push print. And then as you make sales, you just write down your sales. So we're going to have that up there. With that being said, I know we threw this in Slack, but I want to recognize Mr. Daniel Mathers for writing 13 apps and 10,810 premium in July. Great month. David Moore, 25 apps, 20,412 annual premium. Incredible. Spencer Holmes, 13 apps, 12,000. I know he's a little out of order in July, 12,000 AP. Ryan Brooks, 23 apps, 18,130 annual premium with having a baby in July. So that's pretty incredible. Again, this is just those that wanted to share their numbers. So we, you know, if you want to share your numbers, great. If you don't, that's fine too. But either way, you really want to track them. And if you want to share them, you can go to SLG team and do that. But also, of course, want to recognize the man of the hour, Mr. Greg Roberts, in July. I know we shared this in Slack, but he wrote 40 apps and 26,698. So we can round, well, that's almost 27,000, but over 26,000 annual premium and 40 apps. The big thing about Greg, though, is that's the second month in a row that he's written 40 apps. So that's a really big deal. And it's only in his third and fourth month, if I'm correct. I might even be less than that, but I think I'm not sure if he had two full months prior to that, but I know the last 2 months were over 40, and you know, did that fairly early on, started hitting the 10 a week pace. So Greg has been just coming out the gates again, just getting going, but off to an incredible start. So Greg actually shared on our call a couple months ago, and it was incredible. And I know a lot of you asked if he could share again. So with that being said, I'm just going to kind of bring Mr. Greg Roberts on the call, maybe ask you some questions, let you just share and let people hear a little bit about what you're doing. Greg, how you doing?
Good. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning. Thank you. I know you're always on, but thank you for being willing to share a little bit this morning. And I know everybody will get a lot out of it. I guess for starters, Greg, I know we did this a little bit, but again, you know, a lot of people may not heard that. Do you mind just kind of starting with your background, Greg? Maybe a little your story, married, kids, kind of what you've done. I know you do have an insurance background, but different. But maybe just real quick, your background for people to hear.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Well, my wife and I just celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary last month, and we have a couple boys, but they're grown, 28 years old and 23, and so, you know, I live here in Bradenton, Florida, I'm not originally from Florida, but lived most of my life here, originally from the D.C. area of Potomac, Maryland. And you know, went to school. I went to a James Madison University, undergrad Clemson University for grad school. And it's funny because, you know, I never thought I'd spend 1 second in sales. And I've spent my whole adult career basically in sales. So it's been kind of an interesting path. And but, you know, what I have found is that, you know, sales is a great lifestyle vehicle because of, you know, control it can give you over your life. And I think this particular opportunity really really exemplifies that because of how you can, you know, basically you can dictate your day and your week and how you're going to live it. Obviously, if you're going to be successful, you have to be consistent at what you do. But once, you know, you get consistent to the degree that you want to be, then it's great to know that you can, you know, basically shut it on or off as you wish and know and have good expectations of what it takes to come back off of vacation and what just that will mean, but also that you can go and enjoy it and you're your own boss and you don't have to, you know, leave the home or if you do leave the home, you can do this wherever you go. So anyway, that's kind of what I like about this, getting off the track, though. Spent most of my career in sales and last worked for a large insurance regional insurance agency for over 21 years. Started as an agent and worked my way up as an assistant manager, general manager, area manager, and so forth. And it was in the senior market, so it was mainly Medicare and final expense and annuities and long-term care. That was kind of the focus. So that's been the majority of, you know, kind of my background, a little bit of what I've done.
Gotcha. Yeah, thanks. It was more on the corporate side or more on the not necessarily working for yourself throughout those 21 years. You worked for a company more or less, correct?
Yeah, I was a 1099 agent, you know, of course. All our agents. But but I did, you know, and so, you know, was producing real well. And, of course, a lot of times when that happens, they end up putting you in management. And, you know, I like that too, but it was kind of a different challenge. And so this has been really great. Ironically, I did this about 11 years ago for almost a year, that is to say, sell final expense over the phone. And
wow.
I can tell you the platform, well, the platform that we have now that you know, that's provided by the Summit Life Group is really thorough and strong, and it really helps you get organized and really be able to get the most out of your leads, I feel. I mean, it's night and day above, you know, what I did in the system we had way back when, so... Great.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, and not to go backwards, but I do want to point out, you mentioned you never saw yourself in sales. And I know maybe a month ago, I was talking about personality types and all that. And I think you're a good one to point out that I think this is a good assessment. You're not necessarily the domineering or outgoing. I think you're fairly analytical type of personality. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, I don't know that you would be the exact type personality that everybody would think is the natural salesperson. I think that's why you made that comment, but you're actually very good. So I think you're a good example for people that maybe maybe have some similar type personalities. You and I probably share some of the same, but I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that's the case if my assessment of you is correct.
No, you're absolutely right, and I really appreciated that particular meeting we had because it does help you kind of look and, you know, kind of come to the conclusion that, hey, you know, I don't have to be a certain type of personality to be successful in this business. It doesn't matter. You can be any combination of those different personality types and find a way to consistently be successful. So, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, anyone considering this, I have, you know, an acquaintance or two that are considering this, and their personalities you wouldn't think are necessarily such that, you know, they would be I don't know, outgoing enough and that kind of thing to make sales consistently. But it's funny because in what they've done previously, they've been very successful at sales, but they just don't have what you would think right off the bat is, you know, they're almost kind of introverted a little bit. And
yep.
But anyway, the bottom line is I think it there's all types of personalities that can be successful at this. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're a great example for those that maybe question. I know there's someone here that are, you know, fairly analytical, maybe a little more reserved, and so you're a great example of someone that's actually, you know, writing a lot of business. But you also, one of the things about you, Greg, is that you're very I know you want to write quality business too. So I mean, obviously we're doing Final Expense and we know the kind of the, it is what it is, and but at the same time that's a big thing that's important to you, I know. So I know last time we did some of this, but you've got some really, really good lines, and maybe somebody can, maybe just as a, why don't you, for everybody on the call, if you were calling me, what's kind of your typical opening line when you're calling a lead?
Well, and I was thinking about this yesterday, and it's interesting because I'm not sure if this came from something I read during our training or some other training. I know I don't have an original thought when it comes to sales skills. You know, it's all been something I've picked up one way or another. So I'm not sure where this came from, but the bottom line is that, you know, in the intro, you know, I'll, you know, explain to them right off the bat. I'll say hello. I will not say how are you doing, because, you know, that's just an opportunity for them to kind of, you know, say I'm not doing well, not having a good day, or not, you know. Anyway, I won't go there. Basically, I'll introduce myself, and I like the term, you know, that you, I bet you were expecting my call. You know, you had requested information on the state-approved and regulated life programs and burial expense information, and what I then say is, I say, and I'm a licensed field underwriter, and I've been assigned to assist you with this, and I, 11 years ago, used the licensed field underwriter title because it just it kind of sets you apart. It catches their ear, and I just feel like they're, you know, more interested in hearing what you have to say at that point. But then quickly,
sure,
you know, I'll transition, as I learned here in the training. Quickly, I'll transition to, you know, we have a caller reference code of blue for the call, so you know that I'm the person that's supposed to be following up with you. But before we get started, do you have any specific questions of me? And you guys, I think, brought that up, and I think that's it's huge that you do that, because you want to clear their mental runway of anything that's on their mind, because if you don't, that's still going to be there. So, you know, whatever potential immediate question they have, you'll be able to respond and answer, or at least know that, let them know you'll be getting there. But once I, you know, once either they don't have any questions, or once I address whatever question they have, then, you know, I give them a little bit about my background, and everybody can tailor their backgrounds to this same type of thing. And what I'll say is basically that, you know, and just to give you a little bit of background on myself quickly, you know, I've been doing this for over 25 years. And you know, so if you've been in service for over 25 years, or you've been doing something that has been working with people and helping them, you can say that. And so I specifically, of course, could say I've been, you know, in helping people with life insurance for over 25 years. And I represent most of the highly rated companies out there. But then I transition right away to almost apologetically, and I'll say, but frankly, my what I really love doing, what I have a passion for, is to help people find coverage that's affordable and comfortable for them, and that's a good match. And when I find a match, when we find a match that's good for you, then I'm able to match it with a highly rated company. And so, you know, if we can find a match for you today, then I'm also able to get you the coverage right here over the phone. So we also try to make it as easy and as simple as possible. Okay, and you know, I end with okay, and you know, so that gives them a little bit of background. It gives them an understanding of, yeah, you know, we're in a very good position because we represent lots of companies, but it also brings us down to earth that, you know, the most important thing on our mind is to help them and to, you know, to acknowledge that we're looking for something that's right for them, that's a good match, not just, you know, period. And then, but then to get them to kind of sign off on it by saying okay. And as soon as they say okay, then what I say is, you know, and you know, John, just out of curiosity, I have a question for you, and that is, now who's going to be the beneficiary of this coverage? And, you know, I think that's an important question, because if they answer that, in other words, and they're not always going to answer that, but the majority of the time they do, then what that is we're already moving towards the assumption that coverage is what we're taking care of today. So I think that's an important question. You know, who's going to be the beneficiary of this coverage? And they'll say, you know, it's going to be my son and daughter. And then what I'll do is right away I compliment them and say, you know, I got to tell you, I think that's great. It's my opinion that this is one of the, you know, most unselfish acts that you can do while you're on the planet. You know, so I really just want to let you know I appreciate what you're doing for them. I think it's great. And then, you know, I go on to, you know, basically the rest of what I'm going to be talking about with them. And that would be, in that case, I transition you know, the fact that most of the people that I work, well, first of all, I'll talk to them about the fact that that I design whole life insurance for folks. And I'll ask them if they know what that is. And then briefly, I'll explain what it is. And, you know, I'll say, you know, the monthly premium will never go up and the death benefit can never be reduced or taken away from you. And then I'll ask them again, is that the kind of coverage you're looking for? And typically they're going to say yes. So already they've acknowledged that they have a beneficiary that, you know, is important to them, which is part of this process. And they've acknowledged that they like the idea of whole life insurance. So we're already kind of moving in that direction and building some momentum. And then the next thing I would say to them is then, you know, about the fixed income. Most of the people I work with on a fixed income, are you on, you know, Social Security or disability? And if they're on disability, then I'll ask them, you know, what's the nature of their disability, because that'll start to help me figure out from an underwriting standpoint, you know, give me kind of a heads up as to where we might be going. And then I talk to them about, you know, most everybody I talk to on a fixed income has a budget for this. And I'll present them with a budget. And sometimes I kind of tailor it based to what I've already heard in the call. But, you know, usually I'll tell them it's somewhere between $35 to maybe, you know, $75 a month. And then I transition to the fact that all the companies have their own guidelines nowadays for this, but they all share three common qualifiers. And those are the number one, you know, are you a U.S. citizen? Number two, do you have some sort of formal ID, like a driver's license or, you know, a passport, whatever? And then the third question is, and I'll preface it by saying this is because of the Anti-Money Laundering and Patriot Act, but we have to make sure the folks we work with have either a checking or savings account in a bank that's in the U.S. And I think that's important, too, because right there you can save yourself a lot of time. If it's somebody that says no to that, then you can say, well, would you use credit or debit for something like this, or what were your, you know, thoughts there? And if somebody just doesn't have any kind of an account at all, at this point we can't help them anyway. So that's one, you know, early on we can kind of discover that and move away from that. But and so from there, after that, it's about asking them health questions and transitioning that way. So I know everybody probably has their own way of doing that, but that's kind of a little preface of how I go into it and you know, what the questions I'm looking to ask and the statements I'm trying to make during that period.
That's so good, Greg. I mean, so much of that. I'm sitting here when there's so many little words. I hope everybody goes back and listens multiple times. Obviously, we'll have this archive, but there's so many words you're saying that I just visualize you in my mind. I'm like, even from field underwriter, which I agree with that term, to the we, to I design whole life policies for people. In my mind, I'm just visualizing you have such a feeling of, hey, I'm walking over and I'm on your side and we're going to do this together and we're going to get you coverage. I mean, I just visually feel that, you know, in your verbiage versus trying to pull people to do something they don't really want to do. It's like, hey, we're going to do this together. So I think, man, it's so good. Hey, Greg, I know a lot of people are listening to this, including myself, and I'm like, man, there's so much in there. It's so good. Were you always and I know where when you started is kind of relative, you know, here 4 months ago, but you kind of got a career. I know you did annuities and like some similar things to us, but just in your journey, were you always this polished and good, or did you kind of learn as you went?
Oh, no, absolutely learned as I went. You know, I mean, you got to figure out, again, your class on personalities is important because, you know, it also you have to have kind of your, I shouldn't say script, but your verbiage that you're going to use consistently with most of these calls, I think will be evolved as part of your personality, along with, you know, some of the things that, you know, you may want to say no matter what. But so, yeah, it definitely has evolved. And some of this is trial and error. You know, you know, it's funny. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the movie Moneyball, but it's one of my favorite movies. And it's because you kind of learn just to, you know, get on the phone and you need to be calling just like you said all day long. And what's going to happen is that, you know, one of the positives is you're going to find your whatever the best verbiage is for you. And it's going to happen. It may not happen the first day, but it's going to happen over time and you're going to get better and better. So the question becomes, do we care how the calls went? Well, yeah, we care. We want to get better. But we also know that, you know, when we go to the call and everything looks good and then they're declined or whatever, and, you know, can we afford the emotional to invest in that emotionally to such a degree that, you know, it takes us away from the other calls and the rest of our day and everything else? And the answer is no, we can't, because do we care about that call? And the answer is no, we do not. And what I mean by that is, yes, we care. We wanted to have that sale, but we know that it's just part of it. It's all part of it. It's like we used to determine, and I think I was doing some numbers here. You know, if you do 26,000 in a month, and if you make an average of 130 calls a day, that's something like 650 a week, and that's, you know, that's about 2,600 calls a month. So for every call you make, you're getting paid $10. So, you know, every time you pick up the phone and dial, if they're not there, $10. If they hang up, $10. Every time you make a call, and you're always getting closer to your next sale too. So, you know, these are things that mentally you can use to fight off the demons of having a bad call, or, you know, everything looking great and then something at the last second changing, or, you know, people don't, you have these appointments and people don't, you know, they don't show for the appointment when you call and that type of thing. Well, that's all part of it, and it just balances out. And yeah, we can get better and maybe reduce some of that, but for the most part, it's about, like you say every day, it's very simple. It sounds simple, but it's about calling, because calling will help solve most of everything in terms of one, developing, making more sales, just the whole nine yards. So that would be, I guess, my advice, just to keep calling.
ABD, yeah, and that's what I actually, it's a good transition, because everybody that's probably listening to you talk, they're like, man, if I had, I guess what I would call the hard skills, like your verbiage is good, your demeanor is good, like so much of your call is, no question about it, it's incredible. But people are probably thinking, gosh, if I could speak that way, or if I had those hard skills, then this business would be easy. But the truth is, I mean, those things are important, and those come with time. But the soft skills are your ability, because the fact of the matter is the more people that you quote don't turn into a sale than do, even for you still. Is that correct? Is that fair to say?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, you know, the majority, I'm getting rejected all day long. That's part of it. It's that you have to know that, you know, that's part of the deal, you know.
Right. And so most people are thinking, well, gosh, if I just went like that, this would be easy. The truth is, the reason Greg is writing 40 apps, yes, he's very good, but you just heard him describe how much he figured out, how much he makes per dial. And your dial, ever since you started, you kind of latched on to ABD, and you dial every day. You dial every day. You dial every day. And yes, your numbers are probably better than some, for sure. But it doesn't really matter, because if somebody dialed three times more than you, they could probably do the same thing, even with their skills not as good, you know. So,
right.
You know, at the end of the day, it's really your ability to go from the no and not get disappointed to the next one of really your secrets, as much as anything.
I would just say that really there isn't the secret would be to keep dialing, because that helps you develop and it helps you get better and better. And just to, you know, you had the one class with, I don't remember what you call it, but there's like the good cop and bad cop on your shoulder and that type of thing. And, you know, I have to fight the bad guy every day,
sure.
That wants to, you know, get in my way mentally. And, you know, if I'm having a bad week and, you know, I just got to keep going, you know, I'm not having a particularly good week this week, but it doesn't matter, because I know I'm going to keep calling. And so I'm confident that it will be resolved, you know, through just sheer numbers and keep going and keep calling. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll kind of go through these quick. I think we were doing the math, but I think if you look over the time you started, you know, you kind of average it out, I would say you're somewhere in the neighborhood of about 20 leads a day. I know it's obviously they come in different waves and all that. It's not, everybody knows it's not perfect how it comes, but if you kind of take your total spin and everything, would you say you're kind of in the ballpark of around 20 leads a day that you're taking?
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I just to kind of want to share that. I know people have those questions. So, and you've never stopped me. You've always kept fresh leads coming in. We don't need to go through all that, but you pretty much keep it, you know, you're a consistent 20 lead flow coming in, give or take. Some days maybe you don't get any, some days you get a lot more, but over, if you average it. And then just for everybody to hear, another thing we hadn't even talked about that I think you do super well, and I know you have your reasons, but you do not overcomplicate the carrier process. So what are your top two carriers that you've been riding the last 4 months?
Well, it's Liberty Bankers and Great Western. And, you know, now that we have GTL, I've kind of looked at it, but I haven't written one yet. So it's basically Liberty Bankers, Great Western, and then also sometimes Royal Neighbors occasionally. I'm just finding, for me anyway, that it's Liberty Bankers is easy for me to go through the health questions. And I mean, I know they have a lot of them, but by the time I go through that information with the prospect. So, you know, usually we have a pretty good idea, but at the same time, I always have Great Western up on my screen. And what I'll do is go to the Great Western My Enroller app. And while I have a prospect going to the phone interview, I put their information in the Great Western app just as kind of a backup. If, you know, there's a declination, or even if they're like on the graded product, I like the Great Western better than that personally. And so anyway, I have that information ready to go so that if there's a declination or if they're rated to the modified, I can transition into Great Western.
Absolutely. It's a simple strategy, and certainly we don't want to, you know, I'm respectful. Everybody's independent. Everybody can make their own choices. But at the end of the day, simplicity is a lot easier to scale up, at least until you get yourself really profitable. And, I mean, to say Greg writes Liberty and Great Western, I think if you took all the outside cases of any other carrier, it's probably less than 10. So of your 120 apps, however many apps you've written, I mean, you've really stayed in the Liberty and Great Western, you know, and I know you've, right, you know, looking at maybe using GTL more, but really to date, it's been Liberty or Great Western. So those of you that are, especially if you're getting started, you're new to, you know, life insurance or whatever, simplicity is a lot easier, because then you're not sitting here trying to learn all these different carriers and these different processes. Just learn too. You got to have a GI option, but just learn too and get good at them. And I know we say that all the time, but I think a lot of times people don't buy into that as much, but hey, you're a perfect example of it. So, and then just to make sure everybody hears this, what leads are you working? What type of lead, what lead type are you working?
They're the telemarketed lead.
Okay. I mean, you work those 100%. Like you're not buying from another lead. I mean, it's fine if you are. Letting everybody hear. You're not using any other leads from somewhere else.
No.
You're not generating leads. You're not even you just use telemarketed leads.
The telemarketed leads, period.
Perfect. Again, simplicity. And the reason I point that out is what that does is free you up to where really all you have to do is dial and speak to people and do the revenue activities. So, And then What are you? How long are you typically on the phone when you write an app? When you get done on one that you actually sold, do you know an idea about how long you're typically on with that person?
Yeah, it really surprises me actually, but it's like anywhere from about 50, 55 minutes to sometimes like an hour and 5 minutes, hour and 10 minutes. It's cut down a little bit now because part of that was Liberty Bankers. We had to wait for a while, but now that it's, you know, they're pretty immediate now, which is great. It's cut back a little bit, but I'd say maybe 48 minutes to a little bit over an hour, typically somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah. So if you're calculating some, I think it's a good exercise to do. If somebody wants to write two apps a day, you're basically spending 2 hours on the two apps. And then you've got the rest of the time is all dial and talk time, quoting people. But basically, you're two apps. So when people, it's really not, even if you're writing three apps, if you scale to three, which I know, you know, that's 3 hours of app time, you still got 5 hours of dial and quoting time, you know. So I just kind of wanted to put, so, and I want to give you extra props too, because I'll be honest with you, Greg, we loved LBL. I mean, LBL. But when the whole times got bad, you know, but I want to point out that Greg, over the entire, those have been his go-to carriers. Even when Liberty was, their hold times were horrendous, which has been resolved now. But anybody remembers if they were a couple months, you know, it was terrible over COVID. So, I mean, props to you. But that's good. So you're, which means if your average app is about an hour, the interview part and doing the sales probably a good 45 minutes. So you're probably, in most cases, would you say on your sales that you're applying within 15 minutes? Is that fair to say on average? I know there's exceptions, but is that fair to say on average?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Again, I'm not putting words in your mouth. I'm just trying to kind of – I want people to hear from people that write a lot of apps, because this is what I find consistent. It's what's consistent with David. Sometimes people talk about, you know, being on the phone for 45 minutes before they ever get to the app, but that's just not been my experience. So I want to just see what – I'm just asking. That's why I'm asking. So you're typically making a sale within under 15 minutes, then you're doing the app, and that's why your apps are about an hour.
Yeah, and I would say one thing you have to be, I think, careful of is that, you know, you want to try to build rapport, but you don't want, in my opinion – not to the extent where you're being held captive with stories and things like that, where now all of a sudden you have to bring it back into, you know, focus. And that can be kind of a, sometimes I think can be a challenge for some salespeople that, you know, where, you know, they start to talk about the grandchildren and this and that, which is good. I'm not saying that's not good, but I think you kind of have to corral that in, because if you're not careful, because they only have so much retention time, and you know, we have to make sure that, especially with what we do, that we do it efficiently. So we want to make sure we, you know, do a good job of what you can to build rapport to the extent that we do in calls like this, but not to, we don't want to go overboard and be held captive and then, you know, realize that now this person's, you know, they don't have the stamina to come back or the focus to come back to what we were talking about, and then we lose them for that reason. So that can happen too. So just gotta
I agree. See, the way I view it in my mind is I view rapport building. I don't say rapport build and then make the sale. I look at it as rapport building as you do it throughout the sale. Because what happens is, like if you get on Liberty, and I had this yesterday, and you're on the call, you're on hold for a while, well, there's your opportunity to build rapport while you have to, until the interviewer, you know. So I think to me, the rapport building you do throughout the call, all the way through, and then you have a friend by the time you finish the sale. You don't do all that and then sell, because then that takes too long and you lose their attention.
Right, I agree.
Yeah, is there anything, I'll kind of wrap with this, Greg, anything else that you do to transition the close, just for people? You've got one sort of interested, any words you say that kind of takes them from, you know, I've got someone kind of that you feel it's on the hook, but now you're moving them into the close. I know that a lot of people struggle with that. What is your phraseology that you use to move them into the close?
Well, I just kind of, you know, I go from that, three three common qualifiers questions. Then I go into, you know, the U.S. citizen, state ID, and then, you know, basically we have to make sure you have a check in your savings in a U.S. bank. And then I transition into the health questions. And then what I do is once I have their health information, I'll just say now what I'm going to do is I'm looking at my screen, and if you could see my screen, you'd see there's, you know, I have probably 10-plus different highly rated companies. These are companies that specialize in whole life insurance where the premium can't go up, death benefit can't go down. They're all highly rated. Some of these you'll recognize, some of them you won't, but, you know, I'm looking at Mutual of Omaha, Aetna, Liberty Bankers. I'll throw a couple more in, and then I'll say, and the list goes on. But it looks to me like, and then I'll identify, you know, the company that I want to quote them with. It looks to me like Liberty Bankers is going to be our best foot forward here. And so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to, you know, John, I'm going to look at a $10,000 death benefit here. And keep in mind that, you know, if we can get you approved on the preferred level, this is going to be vested immediately. That means if, you know, God forbid it, you only pay one monthly premium in, but you pass away, your wife's going to get the full $10,000 tax-free right away. And so I'll look at $10,000, but keep in mind, I can look at a lower death benefit and a higher one. But right now, I just I want to share this with you. And, you know, it's for $10,000, it's going to be $55 a month. And as I said, we can look at a lower one or a higher one, but I wanted to see what your comfort level on that is and what your thoughts are. And then I won't say anything. And then I'll listen to what they have to say from there. So, you know, I've given them a quote. I allude to the fact that there's other things they can do. So instead of them telling me I can't afford that, you know, they now, if they can't, then when they tell me that, then obviously we're going to look at a lower quote. So I'm giving them, you know, I'm covering, or if they want more, we've covered that too by basically saying that I can look at a lower or higher quote, but let's take a look at this $10,000, what it offers a monthly premium, you know, that comes with it of $55. And I don't know, that may be comfortable for you, but, at, you know, what I want to know is what your thoughts are about this. And I can always look at a lower or higher one. And then I just don't say a word. And that means even if it's a minute or two,
yep.
I don't say a word.
You embrace the pause. I love it. I'm going to fire some. These are just questions real quick. Some of these are quick. So, and great feedback, by the way, Greg. So I know everybody's getting a lot out of it. How many states are you licensed in?
Boy, I think I have, like, right now 18 maybe, 18 or 19.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. And let me comment on that. So, and that's a great question to ask, but I'll say this too. States, all it has to do is with lead volume. I think Greg would agree. There's no states that are better than others. If you're getting a proper lead volume to hit your goals, you don't need more states. If you're having an issue with not getting lead volume, then adding states can help. But that was a great question. But so you're about 18 states. So obviously getting lead volume is, you know, makes it a lot easier when you're 18 states.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, perfect. So another question, I think we already kind of answered this. What's your best lead source? I think the better answer is your only lead source that you're using currently is telemarketing leads. But how do you make notes in the CRM for speed managing follow-up appointments? And actually, that'll lead me to a two-part question, I guess. What percentage of your sales, Greg, do you sell on the first close? What percentage of your sales do you think you might sell in a follow-up? You don't have to tell me if you don't know the exact, but just roughly, do you get sales that you have to follow up on? And if so, or either way, how do you manage taking notes but also continue dialing so you don't get sidetracked?
Yeah, that's great. Well, first of all, I'm not the greatest typist on the planet. I even tell people that on the call to kind of buy me a little bit of time in putting information in, that type of thing. But so what I have is I have a notebook. I have like a spiral binder notebook. And so for each call, I quickly write the name and the notes from, who, you know, the person on the front end, just basically the caller and the color code reference, the person's age, whether they have a beneficiary or not, and their name. I just do that real quick. And then I have it there. So what I do then is I'm able to take some notes as I'm going along because I'm not quick enough to type it into the system as, as I'm going along. I feel more comfortable that way. And so, at the end of the call, if it requires follow-up, then what I'm going to do is I look at that and I just put notes into the system from that are meaningful to me as far as the follow-up call is concerned. So that's kind of how I do that. And probably, I don't know, I should know this statistic, but I would say probably 70% of my sales are first call and maybe 30% are follow-up. And I'll try to track that and give you a better answer next time because I don't know.
I don't know the exact number. I always say, look, it's maybe 50-50, maybe 70-30, maybe 60-40. Bottom line is we get sales. Nobody that I know of closes them all, at least in what we're doing and the way we do it. You get sales on follow-up calls, but you keep new leads coming in and you get at least half or maybe 60-70% in your case are on one and done calls. Now, when you say take notes, do you spend 5 minutes doing it, or is it like just a quick little couple minutes you do it before you move on the next?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm just as I'm on the call with them, if I go through health, I'll mark down whether they're tobacco or not. I mean, they're talking, I'm speaking to them, and I'm writing at the same time. Yeah.
Gotcha. So you're not doing extra note taking after the call.
You just change
the status, move on to the next one. Yeah. Okay. Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm moving along because I want to keep calling. And, it sounds funny, but if you look at how much time is used for little things like that, if you're doing too many things that aren't working in a positive direction for you, you might want to reanalyze whether you should do those things or not. So yeah, you want to be on the making the calls as much as possible.
Yeah, I mean you're dialing 150, 200 times a day, so you don't want to spend too much time getting sidetracked. So all right, so just real quick, last question. I think how long typically? I know I asked you how long before you're applying. Do you ever look at the ticker or the little clock when you're talking about how long into the call do you think you normally are presenting a quote? I'm just curious. So if somebody answers, now giving them the Liberty quote or whatever, about how long that is on average on your call?
I would say probably on my call, maybe about 15 to 20 minutes into the call.
Okay, so you're close to. I knew it'd be probably after seven. I knew it'd be longer than seven or eight, but you're pretty close to after you give that quote. You're pretty much at the process where you're collecting the info and closing. It sounds like because you're normally closing within 20 minutes on most calls, right? Meaning getting the app and all that.
Yeah, and what I do, I spend time prepping them for the call. I feel that's important.
Yep.
So I use the worksheet and I make sure they understand the things that I'm going to be asked of on the call. And so it's not unfamiliar to them, so that they have an idea of what's coming.
Yep. And this doesn't matter. I'm just curious. I know I do, but everybody's part of it. Do you physically print off a worksheet for Liberty and actually write it down as you're talking to them?
Yeah, I use that. I use that for really any company I go to. It just seems to be a good comprehensive. They're asking for the same information for the most part.
Sure.
So I have a stack of blank Liberty, blank apps, or not apps, but the interview sheet. I have a stack of them. I'll just grab one and just start on it.
Yep, exactly. Well, Greg, is there any tip you would give? This is a final question. Is there any one tip you would give, the most important tip? If you had to give one tip, what would it be?
Just keep dialing, keep calling people. Don't let the previous call, if there's a negative situation, don't let it affect you. Obviously, we have to make, whatever kind of livelihood we need from this. So that's a factor for everybody. And some might say, well, of course, you want to be positive call to call. But at some point, well, I think, to know that you're giving this your best effort, you have to really stay on the phone, keep calling people, and just try to keep a level head. Don't get too excited. about, you know, big sales or the fact that things are going well. You can feel good about it, but don't get too excited and don't get too low about, you know, having a bad week or it's being slow. Try to be as even keel as you can and keep calling and try to, you know, learn things, both good and bad, from calls, and, you know, experiment in those areas to see if maybe you can improve and just, you know, keep dialing. But I know it sounds simple. I wish I could give you something more profound, but I really do think that's the key.
Hey, that's good. The simple is the most profound. Well, hey, Greg, you are a true telesales rock star, man, and I appreciate you being generous to come on here and share. And this will be recorded. Of course, you can listen to the previous replay, and we'll have it archived on SLG Team. So thanks so much for sharing, Greg. You are awesome, and let's finish out the week strong. I'm going to lug. David, you can say the last word, my man.
That's the best call I've ever heard. And I mean that wholeheartedly. Greg, that was an absolute master class in, you know, telling and showing people how to be successful. I had some things that I wanted to say, but I don't want to take away 1 second away from that call. Just like he said, you know, this is the 46th minute we're on the call, and I think every minute would probably equate to about $2,000 in income if you implement what he just told you. I don't know. I don't have any way to compare about with how much I've studied selling over the phone to anyone else, but I know I've committed lots and lots and lots and lots of time. That was the single most informational and educational call I've ever heard. And I just want to say thank you. You absolutely made it so crystal clear and simple and easy to follow. And there's no doubt in my mind, and it's very easy for me to see and understand why you're very successful, and you're only going to be even more successful in this industry because, first and foremost, you have a servant's heart. I mean, I took 2 pages of notes during this call, and I've never been more excited and motivated to get on the phone and dial because you gave me a different lens to look through. And there's no reason why people want to work with you because you educate them in such a caring way and you make it very simple to understand that they want to do business with you. And you just did it. It was awesome, man. You know, I was told a long time ago that simple doesn't mean easy. A lot of people overcomplicate things. And he said it over and over all throughout the call, and he kept using the term simple. Simple is the process. That doesn't mean, you know, it's easy. You know, you still have to put effort in, which is dialing. And you still take your failures and grow from them. And the entire call, you emphasized that and used your own words. And I never related more to a method than the way that you just explained it. Everybody has a different style and personality, and they all use their strengths to form the method to create their own foundation of success. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to listen to this call over and over again, and I encourage everyone to. That was an absolute masterclass. I've listened to and been in conferences of self-proclaimed experts. That was a $1 million phone call. I mean, if you just implement what he said, you know, undo everything you've learned from any, and just listen to what he explained and his method and try it. Go in with an open mind and try with the understanding that, hey, every failure is a brick to build your foundation because you're going to grow from that experience. And if you go in educating someone properly and they feel that you really care about them, which there's zero doubt that everyone he speaks to does, I have 100% belief and confidence that Greg sells 100% of the people that want to buy it that he speaks to, if the time's right, because he has a great heart and he explains it in such a simple way that I'd buy a life insurance policy from you right now. I want to cancel mine and then buy through you. So, Greg, thank you so much for that, man. You really, I mean it from the bottom of my heart, and I hope I'm expressing it in a way that you understand it. That was unbelievable. So, man, if you know somebody that wasn't on the call, tell them to go listen to this thing, because that is, again, we've had some amazing calls, and that's what's so great about the business and community. I tell Rich and I talk about it all the time, you know, wow, that was the best call we've ever had. And that's when you know you got the right people. That's when you know people, the team that you're on wins. You know, the New England Patriots had Tom Brady, and people followed suit. The Chicago Bulls had Michael Jordan, and the team followed suit. And when you've got leaders like Greg and like Rich and like John Mantooth and like so many people in this group, man, it's like Rich says, the river's flowing in one direction. Jump in and just take advantage of the momentum that's being created. Don't try to recreate the wheel. You know, seek understanding. There's no right or wrong answers. Business and life isn't a test you take in school. It's you know, the wrong answers in life lead you to success. Failure is what builds character and strength. And that was, again, that is one of the most beneficial calls I've ever listened to, and especially in our industry and our market on helping people over the phone for the age group that we do. So I just want to say thanks, man. You knocked it out the park, and I can't wait to literally get on the phone and start dialing today and implement some golden nuggets that I took out of the three pages that I did, and then continue to go back to this call and implement one thing at a time that I learned, because that was textbook. So thanks again.